Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Here we go. Jingle all the way. Welcome to another episode of Overcoming Emotional Eating. In this episode, I'm talking about stress and stressing less for the holidays. What do you need to get through this time period? How do you keep your stress and cortisol levels lower? And what's the best way to tackle what December looks like for you? Take a listen. And if you love this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe to it. Share it with your friends so we can continue to connect at a community that will continue to overcome their emotional eating.
Tonight, if we bring ourselves back to tonight, December 16th, knowing that we are up now in the thick of things, this is the momentous time for many people. Begin the kind of the frantic holiday season. I saw three fender benders the other day in my area alone, and that's always a sign that people are just moving too fast, too fast. No one was hurt, just fender benders, but lots of different streets and places in my area, and it just tends to go with this time of year. We all move really fast. During this time of year, even more so. More things on our plate, no pun intended, more places to go, from holiday parties to children's events to potential Christmas cards to write. And so I really want to help you all streamline that a little bit and understand a little bit more about why. Why is it so important to streamline during the holiday season for your health and for your food? There are reasons why it's imperative to keep yourself in a place where you're grounded and you're steady so that you can eat what you need to eat to keep your body healthy. But when I was getting prepped for this call, I love quotes. And for those of you that have been on the call enough, you know that I like to start off some of our calls with quotes. And I kept looking for a quote on thriving. And quite frankly, this is the quote that kept coming to me. And I love it. I actually might make a board out of it. It says, at first, they will ask why you're doing it. Later, they'll ask you how you did it. Now that I love, because you can apply it to any aspect of your life. And the truth of the matter is and many people question us on why we're doing certain things, whether we're taking a new job, having another child, right, forming our own business, or maybe wanting to lose weight. Many people ask us why we're doing things. And there's so many times that once you succeed at it and you pave that way, they turn around and then they'll say, how did you do that? How did you even do that? And so it's so important that when we're taking this life transformation, you really think about that piece. And tonight I really want to talk a lot about stress, although sometimes talking too much about it can feel stressful for people. But I want you to hear a lot more about why it's important, particularly during this time of year. You know, I've done a lot of calls on stress and what it does physiologically. You know, we know that when you're in a stressful situation, and around this holiday time period, it can be an acute stressor. You know, if you're just looking at one day where you need to get up early and get your kids to school and get to work and leave work, and then you've got one holiday party here and another event there, and then get your so-and-so here and over there, and you flop home at 10 o'clock at night, you know, that you've got one slam-packed day, right? That's an acute stress. And that can absolutely happen over this holiday time period. What happens, however, more so during the 6 to 8 weeks of holiday time is that this acute stress becomes more of a chronic stress, right? Because it becomes day after day after day. And once our nervous system springs into action, you know, when you have an acute stress, your nervous system ramps up, springs into action, and it releases hormones in your body, what we call stress catecholamines, that prepare you to take either fight or flight. Now, here's the thing, right? If we are running from one place to the other, we don't have a chance to do either. We're just trying to get the heck done, right? I'm trying to get here, to get here, to get here. So we can't really do what we used to do in the primitive time. You know, we were created with stress catecholamines because we used to feel stress, and then we would try to run after the buffalo, and we'd try to kill them to get food. So those catecholamines actually were used, and then the cortisol was drained because we ran for a really long time, sometimes day after day after day, for the women that were home, kind of being the gatherer, getting ready for that kind of kill to come in. Those women were working too. They were taking care of the babies. They were stitching. They were making the tents. They were doing everything too. So they were releasing their own cortisol by being in movement just the same, but in a different way, right? Nowadays, we have this stress that piles on us. Our nervous system kicks into the same stinking action that it used to. We have high cortisol, release all these catecholamines, and then you hop in your car and you drive to work. Or you hop in your car and you drive to a holiday party. And we never get that cortisol release that we used to. So it's so important that you mind your cortisol levels during this time. You can have that acute stress, that one day stress, where we have that high cortisol, high catecholamine reaction. And the truth is, if it's just one day, a 24-hour time period, you'll notice that within a day or two, usually it's 2 days, you'll start to see your body kind of come back to normal. Everything comes down. Your shoulders fit more nicely on your body. For me, I hold stress in my shoulders, so if my shoulders are hunched up, I know I'm stressed. So whether it's your shoulders or your fists unclench or any place you hold that stress starts to relax, right? But when you have another day of that, and then another day, you move into this hypercortisolemia. I want to say that a few times, hypercortisolemia, where you have high cortisol all the time. Many of you have heard of cortisol. Many of you know what it's related to is in the storage of fat, particularly around the mid system. Our middle area, our stomach and upper thighs. We also know that blood pressure increases during acute stress. Over long-term stress, we know that that high blood pressure response can create inflammation in the body, which can create other disease factors. So there is a domino effect around stress. And it's difficult for our body to really thrive when we have a chronic stress situation. Even if you have acute stress over and over again, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday is very stressful for you, for example, of the week. Even though you have that day of recovery and you kick back into it, that then becomes a chronic stress, which is why I look at this holiday time period for many people as a chronic stress, because it may start, you know, about the second week of November, and then really not land until the first week of January. And then everybody makes their New Year's resolutions, right? So then you got to kick in a high gear, and you better get to the gym and lose the weight and eat healthy again and do everything that you need to do, whatever. And the other resolutions that come on board, I want to make more money, I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to buy a new house, whatever it is. Those New Year's resolutions, then we have that on top of everything our body's just been through the last 6 weeks. So that being said, it's no wonder that we get signs, physical signs of stress during this time of year, whether it be headaches, fatigue, shortness of breath, higher blood pressure readings, exhaustion, fatigue, apathy. For some people, move into a state of depression. And all of this stress can absolutely impact how you eat. Not just what goes on in your body, but what you eat with how you feel in your body. Because what we know and what research has reported time and time again, in fact, I can't believe the things I'm reading, particularly over this past year, how more and more we are finding out about the stress connection and what we eat and why. Earlier this year, I did a call on stress and the stress connection and talked a lot about the high levels of insulin that are caused in our nerve cells in the amygdala because of stress. And those, and then insulin becomes actually desensitized. And with that, we get something called insulin resistance. So we're finding that high levels of stress, perceived stress, so that's when we feel that stress, right? So it's not that somebody tells you you're stressed. It's when you really feel stress, running around too much on your plate, too much on your shoulders, and you wind up feeling that stress. We're finding that that is creating type of insulin resistance in the body. More and more studies are showing how chronic stress can affect eating patterns and affect eating choices. So, you know, when that cortisol is released, it can actually increase appetite and motivate a person to eat unhealthy, high-fat, sugary foods, because what it does is it activates the reward system of the brain. We actually need a reward, feeling of a reward, and if we connotate reward and food, and most people don't connotate reward in broccoli, although it's a thought, most people connotate reward and cake or reward and cookies or reward and popcorn with lots of butter and lots of salt. That reward center that's activated, then we need to feed. And more research is supporting it, and it is a pattern I've seen for 26 years. It just, because I've been in practice so long, when I first came into practice, it was more anecdotal. I heard it more from patients, and it was always interesting to me, and the patterns that are elicited there by stress didn't have the research behind them, but we knew they were there because we saw them so much. What we didn't know is whether it was all emotional or there was physiological components to it. And the newest research is reporting both, that we've got a combination. So it's really important to take care of your physiology. So with that higher cortisol, with that stress, to allow your time to decrease that cortisol is imperative. It's imperative. It's not a, you know, oh, that would be a nice thing. It's imperative. In whatever way that cortisol drop happens for you, and if you don't know what that is, there are a number of things that can reduce your cortisol. Pick one. All right. We know that deep breathing through yoga, like a flow yoga, can absolutely reduce cortisol. I just read a study that 45 minutes of a creative, expressive art form can reduce cortisol. So something like going to a painting class, an art class, a drawing class, a ceramics class. If that's a venue for you, then 45 minutes can reduce cortisol. Gardening, if somebody loves gardening, can reduce cortisol. Being passionate about something, it could be horseback riding, that would reduce cortisol. Okay. Crying reduces cortisol. So I guess if nothing else, cry for a while. No, I'm joking. But crying does reduce cortisol. That's the truth. But you don't have to do that to get that. Although you could end at work. Meditation reduces cortisol. And it doesn't mean that you have to do meditation right. All you have to do is sit in simple silence for 10 minutes. It doesn't mean you have to do it for 45 minutes where you go, you develop your third eye or whatever the saying is. Just means you have to sit in total silence for 10 minutes. And even if your brain is spinning, you just simply bring it back. Listening to some de-stressing type music during that time can really help to reduce cortisol. more and more in 2020, I think we're going to read more research about how to reduce cortisol, because as a country, we have a huge issue with cortisol, and we know that's creating inflammation. And inflammation is absolutely on the rise, and we're seeing that linked to many, many disease states. So in any way, even if you're out holiday shopping, put in your earphones and listen to some relaxing music if you can. Do some deep breathing when you can. Even if it's just setting a timer on your phone and taking a deep breath every 5 minutes. Driving in your car instead of listening to NPR or a news show, listen to something that relaxes you, whether it's a podcast that's comforting, whether it's some music that's calming. Let yourself listen to that so you can bring your cortisol down while you're driving. And then as we move into the hardcore holiday season now over the next couple weeks, I wanted to give you some tips on how to thrive. I love the word thrive because it's so much more than survive. I don't want to just survive something. I really want to thrive. And so there was an acronym that I looked at last year during this time of year, and I was kind of reading back through some things. And I wanted to re-bring that to you because it was so important. And just a quick simple tip orientation of how to get through the next 2 weeks in thriving. So if you look at thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, right? T, what you want to do with your T is time. During this time of year, it's so important to manage your time well. So any kind of time management skills that you use or have, whether it be a calendar, looking at organizing things. So if you need to organize, and I just did this 2 weeks ago, I organized who I needed holiday gifts for, who I didn't, who I needed cards for, where they were going, when they were going, and I took one day and just did that. And I got all of those, had all those in my office, and I actually have a helper today that actually is going to help me get those out, right? So T, manage your time well. This is the time to use those time management skills. This is the time to use what you have to really thrive. H, ask for help. H is for help. So please don't be shy. This is the time of year where other people do want to help you if they have the time. And if you don't know how to ask for help, start now. Nobody knows to help you unless you ask. I actually enlisted my children over the weekend to help me with some projects that I needed to organize. They earned a little bit of money. I asked them for help, and I got some stuff off my plate, and I let them feel responsible in that. So ask for help where you need, what you need. Do you need help with carpooling? Do you need help getting somewhere? Do you need help picking things up from the store? Whatever that is, ask for help. People don't know unless you ask, right? R, take the time to rest. I know we don't do that well in this country, and I am totally at fault for this. There are many a times that my rest goes on the back burner. And the amount that I've done on sleep patterns and rest this year on these calls, there are times I put it in my calendar that I just, okay, Sunday morning from 7 to 9, I'm just resting. I'm going to lay in bed. I'm going to do nothing else, even if I'm awake. Whatever that is that you need, and take that time to rest and put it in your calendar where you need that. Ignore perfection. This is so important this time of year. All times of year important, major important this time of year. What you can't get done, let go. I'm going to say it again. What you can't get done, let go. Because the truth is, people are not going to remember that little detail, but you'll remember the sickness that you got for weeks after that, right? So ignore perfection. You need perfect. You just need to be, right? So whatever that might be, if you need to scratch your holiday cards, if you need to forget about doing, you know, going out and getting a gift, but just picking up a bunch of gift cards, then do that. It's really the thought that counts. So ignore perfectionism, especially at this time of year. V, remember what you value the most, right? What is your intention this holiday season? What do you value the most? What do you want to get out of this holiday season for yourself, for other people? Who do you want to give to? Who do you want to help? What is that? And put that value on the front end of everything and make that the priority. And if you're struggling with getting things done, then you go back to that value. So, so important. And E is enjoy the moment, right? So remember what the season is about. It's about enjoying those moments of time. If you haven't and you need to set a calendar for the next 2 weeks, do it. What needs to be done on what day, even if it's an old school calendar. I pulled out my old school calendar that's in paper. I know everybody uses computers and I do too, but those old school calendars sometimes, especially for people in their 40s and 50s and 60s, we've kind of grown up with them and there's something tactile about those. Get out those old school calendars. In fact, you could probably find one for 50 cents now for 2019. And just look at that and write things down for each of those days. So it's organized, you can pre-plan it, and then you open it up and you just get, oh, here's my things for today. And then you move to the next day. During this time of year, that's what it's about. Maya Angelou said, surviving is important, but thriving is elegant. And I love that. Maya Angelou was extremely, impeccably elegant. And that's an amazing quote by you, her. So use this time during the holiday season to thrive and not just survive. And do that for the health of your body, your food patterns.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.